Welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast with Phil Pringle. Phil is the founder and senior leader of C3 Church Global, a family of over 500 churches around the world. We're passionate about bringing you fresh, inspiring devotionals to fuel your day and insightful conversations on all things church and leadership. And it all starts right now.
Hey, everybody, this is Phil Pringle, and I am the host for our C3 Church Global podcast. Such a pleasure to be with you again. Thanks for logging on. Thanks for hitting that subscribe button, and thanks for listening. I hope you receive something today that'll inspire you and help you know more about what God's doing in your life. I have the great joy, pleasure of speaking to Steve Warren, who leads C3 Amsterdam today. Hi, Steve.
Hey, good to be with you, Pastor Phil. I've avid listener of all the 100 podcasts so far, so real privilege to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you and Lisby leading not only the C3 Amsterdam Church, but also the entire Europe C3 movement. And so that began in pretty interesting circumstances, but here you are. After how many years you've been in? Over 10, right?
18 years. 2004 we moved here.
Wow.
I know. That's, time flies.
That is so amazing. And your boys, Jake and Benjamin, have grown up there.
That's right. Yeah, Jake was 4 when we moved and Ben was 2. So Jake is now 22, married to Damie, and Ben is 19.
Amazing. Amazing. Getting married at 22... in a foreign country, that's interesting, right?
So, yeah, certainly is. It was a surprise to us. We're delighted. She's a great girl. And so they've got a great future together. Yeah.
So you guys are English. Yeah, I mean, you're an Englishman. Lisby's an English lady. And God called you to go to Amsterdam, where they speak an entirely different language, and you guys have had to face that as a major barrier over 18 years, and yet you've planted churches, led the region, and grown the church in Amsterdam. Tell us about the challenges of being a foreigner in a strange land, not being able to speak the language, and yet seeing all this growth happen.
Well, yeah, where do I begin? The challenges. Well, maybe the obvious one is the language, but it certainly wasn't the biggest challenge. The greatest challenge was, for us, the lack of preparation. So when we came here, our original intent was to be here for about 3 months, really to seek God on where he wanted us to be. We had already been leading a C3 church in the UK. We got a sense God wanted us to plant a church somewhere back in the UK, couldn't get a clear direction on it, couldn't get a clear sense of peace on it. So we thought, oh, well, we're committed to our tribe. We know that we're better with the connections we've got. So we thought we'd spend 3 months here with what was then our overseeing church, chance to seek God. And within a couple of months, it became clear to us we needed to stay. So although that was clear, that was a huge shock, a huge surprise. We had no preparation inside our sort of mindset. We hadn't begun to study the language. We hadn't thought about how we could get work here. So probably the biggest challenge was the catch-up, psychological catch-up, and then the financial deal. So we were in a house that the rent was about $900 a month, I think, and the fixed income we had at that stage was about 500 euros a month. So that didn't balance from day one. So it was the journey of struggling through the financial thing and then getting used to the fact we were unlikely to be going back to our homeland. So big catch up.
Yeah, you burned the boats.
We did burn the boats. Yeah, in a number of ways.
No going back. You know, one of the things I've always appreciated about Steve Warren and Lisby is loyalty. I mean, in church life, there's always some challenges that are really, really terrible. And dealing with those is never an easy situation, and it's always something you've got to walk through. And in those times, you find out where people's commitments really are. It's so easy when the pressure's on and words are cheap and people leave. It's so easy to actually say, okay, well, I'm just going to bow out right here. But actually, the kingdom of God or the church grows in a climate of challenge. In fact, right. You might even say a climate of war. Hmm. Jesus says, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church that I'm building. And to join those dots together, he could have said anything, but he said, no, there's going to be opposition. The gates of hell are going to have a good go at stopping you. And so during those times, you need to know that the people you're in the trenches with are going to keep their guns fired at the enemy and not turn them around on you, which is, you know, I've had that happen. And you, it's kind of disappointing, but also you learn what you need to build the church on. And so tell me, I mean, I know of three real difficult, challenging, almost disastrous circumstances that you have traveled through with us and have decided to stay on board and keep your commitment strong. Can you talk a bit about that, why you would have done that when others said, oh, see you later, you stuck around?
Yeah, gosh, good question. I think the key is in what you just said there. You said with us. Lisbeth and I have always, well, since 1999 when we discovered our tribe C3, have always known that we would be deeply connected to our tribe. I think it's so important. We're only as good as the people we're connected to. And we realized that real early on. I think we realized that we weren't good enough on our own to achieve the call of God inside of us. We were very clear about a call of God inside of us, but in a sense, our lack drove us to depend hugely on the connections we had and the love we had for our movement. And so what largely got us through was that, was people like yourself jumping into the fire with us in those situations and walking through it with us. So it would be those two things. It'd be the sense of call of God deep on the inside, knowing that we've never been those people that have gone, you know, Paul talks about those that went out from among us and are now troublemakers, and then those that were sent out and became fruitful. I think the difference between went and sent is hugely important. I think we've always known that there's a call of God in us, but we're not just going to wander into it aimlessly ourselves. We're going to wait till we're sent, till we're given something to do, and so that community of relationships we've been in has held us tight to the call and has held us deeply loyal because of the brotherhood, the sisterhood within our relationships. I would say that was a number one thing.
Yeah, no, that's a really great answer, and it lends itself to a whole range of other thinking as well for just our own personal lives and for the life of the church. I'm convinced that I don't have all of my destiny within myself. I think other Right. people have got bits and pieces of what I'm going to be doing. And so if I isolate and allow situations to divide me from those that I've been called by God to do life with, then I'm going to miss out on a whole range of experiences and fruitfulness and meaningfulness in life that I'm only going to find in relationship with others. And especially when I say others, I don't mean just anybody. I mean, it's like God definitely calls us to do life together.
Right.
And we've got to recognize who it is, I think, that God has called us to do life with. There's some people you resonate with and others you don't. And you think, okay, this is, like you said, my tribe. I got a vibe here that I'm meant to be part of this crew. And so if God in divine selection has chosen to you know, stick me together, and what God joins together, don't let man put asunder. I know that's used with marriage, but I think that can be used with all sorts of areas of life that we need to know. And the fact is, I'm always going to end up doing a whole lot more in relationship with others. And I'm going to be a better person in relationship with others than I ever will be on my own. And so that message you're sharing is so super important.
Can I just add to that, Pastor Phil? I was talking to a great couple recently who want to plant a church. They're eager to plant a church. I want to do it in the next year. And I'm going, look, man. He's going, I'm in my early 30s, keen to get on with it. Life is short. I'm going, hey, slow down a minute. You need to pick your tribe. You could go out now and have moderate fruit, or you could delay it a year or two. Make sure you're doing this well with the right tribe. And of course, part of that context was talking about if C3 would be that. And I guarantee you that delay will end up becoming more fruitful for you than you going out prematurely without the context of those relationships. And Lisbon and I would be a definite testimony of that. We're not the most charismatic stage personalities. Our gifting isn't sufficient to survive alone. I don't think any of ours are. But so I would say our fruitfulness in terms of growth of our church, the churches we planted and the churches we look after, is almost entirely due to the tribe we're in. It's not a small part. It's not a luxury extra. It would be the baseline.
Right. I have found that increasingly, the idea of the personal relationship with Jesus is taken to a lot of extremes to justify people just isolating and doing what God is speaking to them about, as though God only deals with us as individuals, when in fact he has called us into community. And the whole essence of the Lord's Prayer actually shows us that he's not into us living just an isolated, on your own personal relationship with Jesus kind of life. The Lord's Prayer doesn't start with my Father; it starts with our Father. So, we're obviously in relationship with others who are the children of God, and we're able to pray together, and that changes absolutely everything because give us and forgive us and lead us and deliver us. It's not just a self-absorbed Christianity. And I fear that is at the root of some people's real frustrations in their Christian life. Do you find that is a problem in Europe, or do you find it's a situation where people are opting out of church for just a personal walk with Jesus on their own terms?
Definitely. I think it's probably the most pervading challenge that we have. I guess it's a symptom of maybe society being more individualized and less community orientated. I don't know if that's how people want to live, but it's certainly the path people are taking is to live a little more self-orientated than thinking community. And I think that definitely has crept into the church. People are thinking more in lines of what God has spoken to them rather than to us. And I agree with you. I think it's a dangerous road. We don't want to discourage people from learning how to hear God, have a personal relationship, get that sense of call on the inside. That's critical. But if it's not in the context of the echo of the community going, amen, we're hearing this with you, then people can go down all sorts of dangerous roads. I mean, I get all sorts of inclinations I think might be God, and yet it could have been the pizza I had last night or some other thing. And if I don't have the moderating factor of great people around me speaking into it or bouncing it around with, and even the joy of that too, it's so much fun. We were gathered just last week as a global team, and just the fun around the table that just keeps your mind moderated in a healthy place. Things keeps your spiritual life way more balanced than it could go if we were living individualized, for sure. Yeah,
it's I think mental health, emotional health, all come out of relational health. Actually, being in relationship to other people, it modifies your behavior. It does all sorts of things, as you say. And one of the things I've noticed at your church, your great church in Amsterdam, is when you arrive, the cafe area, the foyer area, is full of people. And there's such a great smell of coffee. and there's a lot of hard surfaces in that foyer. So the noise is pretty loud. But that's great because everybody is very animated in the way they are talking. And then after church, people are hanging around. And I think, you know, everybody really aches for fellowship. And I think we should structure church life so that we are accommodating for people gathering together before and after with ease, so they don't just rush to the car and go out to a restaurant somewhere or whatever. But there's actually time to linger in church because, as you say, you discover like community and meet new friends, and it's not an artificial kind of let's get together afterwards and we can have a class where we all put our names on a list and that, but it's actually very organic. And I think coffee helps, right?
Coffee definitely helps. Who doesn't like coffee nowadays? I mean, it's like we used to talk about wine connoisseurs, but that's old school now. We're talking about coffee connoisseurs. Yeah. We've had people come and stay with us, and they've brought their own coffee making machines because they're so so connoisseur about the coffee they like. So coffee's always a win for sure. I think the spirit of hospitality is the spirit of the church, largely. I think community is one of the greatest words that describes church. We should be a community on a mission together to infiltrate the community of the world. And so hospitality's got to be at the heart of community. So I totally agree with you. The more space we can give it, we've even started churches on that basis of at the latest location we started from our church was based out of starting groups in that area first and trying to build that basis of what is really important here is relationships together on a journey together, enjoying one another. If we can get that platform right, then we can move on to organizing Sunday services and the rest of the programs that you'd want to have. But we've tried to make that the baseline for kicking off a new location is in that spirit of hospitality. It's so essential, for sure.
That's fantastic. And I think that's something coming out of the pandemic, the COVID problem that, you know, the whole world had. People need to be able to find their way back into community because for some people, that being isolated and doing everything on a Zoom actually caused people to retreat and withdraw and not feel that comfortable in crowds, or even going back to the office for some people was very challenging. Yeah. And so I think helping people to find their way into community can be a real thing. Some people have very bad experiences in church life, et cetera, in the past. But I think the as you say, the power of hospitality cannot be underestimated. And I think probably that's why Paul says, look, an elder must be hospitable. That's the right. Leader of the church. He's got to be able to have people come into his home or be able to eat with them and welcome them. He needs the elder must be an open-armed person, because then that culture will travel to the entire church. But if the leader of the congregation himself or herself is not a hospitable person, nobody's going to feel really welcome in that place. And so I think that Chris and I have always been into making sure that hospitality is top of the list in our culture. And I think people are looking for that probably even more than good preaching or great worship or a nice building or good facilities. I think if they can find a place where they are welcomed and looked after and cared for and included as part of the crew, then they'll really find a place to stay.
That's for sure. And you're totally right. You and Pastor Chris have been such an example of that. People looking on will see you as a very gifted preacher, a person of faith, a man of the word, and committed to good leadership. But maybe what they don't see really is that secret source of the hospitality unless they get up close and personal. But you've always held that strongly, not just in the churches that you've planted, but in your personal world. I would love for you just to say a little more about that, Pastor Phil. What is that, you know, in terms of having people around your own table and the group of friends that you have managed to keep around your world spinning for maybe 40 years or so? For those of us looking on at trying to finish well, how important has that been to you? And what would you say to other pastors in learning how to develop relationships within their team?
Yeah, it's a really important question for every church to ask themselves. Out of a 1 to 10 list, where does hospitality sit in our congregation? And I think it was Christian Schwartz, the Natural Church Development, Church Growth. NCD, mm-hmm. Writer who wanted a numeric to put next to one of the values, which was love. He had several values that he said all of these must be present for churches to grow, and one of them was love. But that's pretty hard to measure, you know, because he wanted to have an empirical treatment of the survey. He surveyed 40,000 churches to come, and of all kinds, of all backgrounds, and came up with this thing where there was this recipe of these qualities that if they are present, the church will just naturally, organically grow. And so when he came to love, I remember one of the indicators of if a church is loving is how many times people had someone come home to their house to have a meal. It's basically hospitality.
Wow.
And he said, if it's under 3, the church will be declining.
Wow.
If people in the church have only had people in their home 3 or less times from the church over the year, that will be declining. And then I guess that goes into different areas, whether it's youth, women, men's ministry, business people's ministry, or just connect groups and age groups. So if a particular age group are not taking people home and having hospitality as an active culture in their world, then they're going to find themselves in decline. And I think he said for optimum growth in a church, it was something like 17 times.
Wow. Yeah. Isn't that interesting measure?
So that's... I know. So that's maybe twice a month. That's not too much to ask.
No.
You've got somebody else from the church coming home, and not just people within your clique, your normal group of friends, but maybe a newcomer in the church.
Right.
And I think there's a big difference between being friendly, a friendly church, and a church that makes friends.
Wow.
Because friendly, you can shake their hands at church, but
yes,
making friends means you're going to take them home and eat together. And I think that's pretty much where we have bonded emotionally, right, mentally, spiritually with that team that you've described and yourselves. We've been on vacations together. We've eaten together. We've laughed together. We've been there for each other's important moments, like marriages of children, graduations, and funerals, if that's, you know, happen of a member. in the family. And so I think those bonds, they don't form in a vacuum. They form because you're there, you're eating together at least once or twice a week. You make sure that you're including them in the planning of everything that you're doing. You're working like a genuine team. It's not just a leader telling a bunch of drones what to do. But I think living a hospitable life is a key. Yeah.
This is so good. My latest thought on that is, Phil, people often talk about millennials being risk averse, and it may be so, I don't know, but I do think that our current sociological framework has way less boundaries in it than it ever did when we were growing up. And so in a sense, I feel like we have a whole generation that is boundaryless, trying to find their way. And when it comes to church, they want a safe place. And then if we can be safe leaders, creating safe places, I think we will trigger in them the ability to take risks and adventures. So by safe, I don't mean conservative. We don't want churches being conservative, but we do, because we need them to go on an adventure and take risks. But people are going to do that by having a safe place. And I think what you've just touched on, that sense of hospitality, that true investment in people, that sense of vulnerability around the table, is all part of that picture of creating a place that can be safe. So we're not just going, okay, troops over the hill, let's fire away, without having built that sense of trust and confidence and reliability at a relational level.
Exactly. Hmm. Just a small point in the margin to clarify, when you said we don't want churches to be conservative, I know that you're not talking about political positioning.
No.
You're talking about culture.
Yeah. We don't want to be. Not church traditional is what I'm talking about. Yeah.
We need to. Obviously, do that. But let me say this too. It is fascinating to me how much of courtesy has disappeared from social interaction with the ease of communication and with the ability to say things online that are hateful, hurtful, vengeful, all sorts of things like that. It appears to me that a lot of the normal courtesies of letter writing, note taking, have evaporated. And that applies in the world of hospitality. That it's courteous to arrive at somebody's house with a gift, you know, whether it's, I don't know, a bottle of wine or cheesecake, or just you bring something, you know. And just those little touches that would be normal in courtesy land, I think sometimes maybe we need to revisit them. I think if you're hosting somebody, you leave the light on outside to make sure that they can see clearly if it's coming in the dark for dinner.
True.
Or even have somebody waiting out there, one of the kids just waiting at about the time the people are meant to be arriving, so they're welcomed, showing the way in. I know some people would have somebody standing at the gate or out on the street to make sure people get the right park and they are helped out of their car if they need it.
Right.
All those little courtesies. And then at the end of the night, to actually walk people out to their car, to walk them out to the gate and to carry anything that they need carried. And there's all these little helpful things which are part of being hospitable that we might expect at a hotel or where we're paying, but actually should begin right with the way we do life. I mean, Chris and I will stand at the door of our house when people are leaving and wave at them until they're gone, you know, like you just see them off. You don't say, see you later, and close the door and out in the dark.
It makes you feel like king of the castle, doesn't it? I mean, you can be in a small apartment and see someone out onto the pavement and wave them off, and it makes you feel like you're you're Lord of the Manor. So, yeah, it just shows that it's a great sign of dignity.
Yeah, and I just think that if we can learn some of these little courtesies, which even Christians sometimes feel they're excused from because we're all equal, a very right. egalitarian idea. But if we have the heart of serving, we want to let other people feel great. As you say, they can feel like a royalty and it ennobles everybody in the equation. I think we get mistaken that people are going to go away with the information that we communicated to them, but actually people go away with a feeling they got from us. And I think in church, we've got to remember that. How do people feel when they leave church? That's even more important than what we told them in terms of the message or the songs or whatever. And so hospitality, when you've been looked after well and blessed and it's been generous, a big thing about hospitality is overflow the cup and let it be a generous thing. You don't kind of buy one pizza for 10 people and give each person one slice.
Exactly. This is great news for a lot of churches out there listening to this, a lot of pastors, because, man, they're comparing themselves to some TV preacher who's really got their preaching gift art really nailed down, and they're thinking that's what it's all about. And, of course, we love getting the word out there. It's so important. But all of us can do what you're just describing. All of us can be people of hospitality, and it is equally as powerful a thing to grow your church on and build your church on. In fact, essential, because we're here to love and serve. It's our primary call. So this is great news. Great news for us.
Yeah. I would say, Steve, that it's not just equally, you know, like the way to build the church. I'd say it's even more importantly, because true. With hospitality, you're building the church from the pew, not from the stage.
Right.
And so the people in the pew start to really bond with one another through just having each other come home. And it doesn't have to be fancy. This is the thing, like some people think, oh, I can't invite anybody home. I need to paint the house. You know, I need to get a new barbecue. I know people who've had no furniture in their house, just apple boxes, and they order pizza and have a blast just sitting around, goofing off, laughing with one another, maybe spend a little time in prayer or whatever, and that's their connect group. And start to really connect around those things, because it's at the end, it's not the color of the carpet or the new drapes or the best cutlery coming out on the table that matters. It's just the smiles and the camaraderie and the fellowship that people are going to enjoy together.
Excellence is a spirit more than what you can afford to do, isn't it? It's an attitude and posture toward people. It's not totally. About whether the carpet's in place or the plates are made of gold. It's an attitude and a spirit and a posture.
Well, I've always found that you and Lisby are enormously hospitable people. In fact, we ate a meal at your house like 2 months ago there in Amsterdam. Yeah. And it was just wonderful to see Lisby in full flight putting all that together and all the food that was on the table, and the team came around and we had this wonderful, wonderful, very memorable, unforgettable night in your your home there in Amsterdam, which you're very right to be proud of, because it's just a beautiful achievement and a wonderful place to be. Look, well, Steve, thanks. Our time's pretty much up, and I want to thank you for sharing. And we got to talk a lot about a great quality in your church called hospitality, and about loyalty through the tough times. Any closing thoughts, Steve?
No, I echo everything you've said. I think hospitality is the baseline. Keep to a tribe. You're only as good as the people you're committed to. And let's build safe churches that take this current generation on a wild adventure. Just my closing thoughts.
Fantastic. I love it. Mm. Well, God bless you, Steve. We look forward to talking again soon in the future. Thanks, everybody, for jumping on. And also look forward to talking with you again, whether it's in your ears at the gym or on a walk or through the radio, through the system you got in your car. And I know that God is going to touch you, bless you, and do great things in your life. See you next week.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the C3 Church Global Podcast. Let us know what you thought by leaving a review and connect with us on Instagram at C3 Church Global. We hope you'll be back real soon.